Everybody, I'm Karen Hartglass. You are listening to It's All About Food. Yes, it's that time again to talk about my favorite subject, food. It's an interesting day here in New York. I'm looking outside at the beautiful, colorful leaves. Autumn is my favorite time of year, even on a cool, rainy day like today. It's just lovely looking at all those colors. And another thing that has a lot of colors is foods when we choose the right ones. And we're going to be talking a lot about healthy, nutritious food once again today. And I'm going to bring on my guest. I'm very, very happy to have him with us here again, Dr. Joel Fuhrman, my favorite medical doctor. He's a board-certified family physician, six-time New York Times bestselling author, and internationally recognized expert on nutrition and national healing, who specializes in preventing and reversing disease through nutritional methods. He is the president of the Nutritional Research Foundation and on the faculty of Northern Arizona University Health Sciences Division. Dr. Fuhrman coined the term nutritarian to describe a nutrient-dense eating style designed to prevent cancer, slow aging, and extend lifespan. For over 25 years, Dr. Fuhrman has shown that it is possible to achieve sustainable weight loss and reverse heart disease, diabetes, and many other illnesses using smart nutrition in his medical practice and through his books and television specials. He continues to bring his life-saving message to hundreds of thousands of people around the world. Joel, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Oh, great. This is audio only, huh?
Yes, it's audio only, and I can see you, and I want to say that you look fabulous. You can't see me. I look fabulous, too. But yeah.
Should I shut off my... video, so
yeah,
it's better
just
sound.
Audio.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. I'll show
it'll
the video.
Make it easier for cyberspace to manage.
Right. Okay. Well, terrific. Look forward to being on your show and talking to you today.
Yes, but you know, I want to talk a moment about why you look so good. And whenever people talk to me about health problems and going to their doctor, one of the questions I ask them is, "What does your doctor look like? Does your doctor look healthy?" And many times they don't, because even though doctors are supposed to be good at healing us, and there are some things that medical doctors are trained to do really, really well, but other things like taking care of themselves and everyone else, they're not very good at. But you excel.
Well, thank you for that. But it's nice to be able to have all my friends and people who follow my program aging slower. You know, I go away on ski trips and vacations with people who are like, people who've learned my program, but they're also become healthy enough that they can enjoy having fun together. We can go to Aspen together. We can go to Italy together. We can do things, you know, I like to ski and play volleyball and play tennis and to do things and to travel and hike up mountains and to, you know, do all the things. And as we get older, that we can still enjoy our lives. And so being healthy gives us a tremendous amount of much more activity, but not just physical, but also emotionally and mentally as well, because we don't, you know, we don't lose that mental edge, that enthusiasm for life, and the feeling that there's so much to enjoy in this world that we can take advantage of.
That's really it. We're here to enjoy our lives. And so many people, when you talk to them about changing their diet so that they live longer, I know you've heard all the responses, but some of them are, "Oh, I don't know that I want to live that long," because they imagine themselves being old and decrepit.
Yeah, they'll say, "Shoot me right now. I'd rather be dead if I had to eat like that."
Oh, okay. But there are some people that want help and they struggle.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and as you know, my message is always that this way of eating is more fun, more tasty, and you get more gratitude about the food because you realize the food is healing you, protecting you. It tastes delicious. The recipes are great. We have more variety. It's not deprivation, you know. But I know what you're getting at, too, is that there are some people that are so addicted to conventional American style and junk food, and they're overweight and they're sickly and they just can't do it on their own. And that's what my career is about. You know, it's helping people, giving the supportive services, and even to make sure that if they want to make the change and get well, they can. Because obviously, I know you're doing great work encouraging people to take better care of their health. Sometimes people just can't do it on their own. They need some professional help, psychological counseling. You know, and one thing that I've done recently in the last couple of years is I built a retreat in Southern California where instead of people coming in for an hour medical visit, they come in for an hour medical visit and they stay there for 2 or 3 months. They stay with me, you know, and we're able to show them how great the food can taste, get rid of their food addictions, and I can adjust them, get them off their medications, have them drop 30 pounds while they're there, become non-diabetic, get rid of their Sjogren syndrome, their lupus, their colitis, whatever, their asthma. In other words, show them the miraculous healing power of nutritional excellence, get and spend enough time immersed in the program for them really to love it, appreciate it, and realize how great it can taste. So when they leave, they're accomplished nutritarians. They're accomplished in not even desiring to eat any other way because this has become the way they enjoy eating the most. So I'm really thrilled about that. That I used to see people calling me from the ICU and saying, "Dr. Furman, I know I should have listened to you. I know you told me I was bad shape and going to have a heart attack, but now I had the heart attack. I just couldn't do it." You know, so it's been my life. You know what I mean? To have so many people contacting me after the emergency, right? They were warned, after they were told, and you know. And as you know, so many people, their lives become tragic because of their unquenchable and cravings and their illicit love affair with dangerous food, and they can't control their behavior, and there's just no one out there with the skills, knowledge, and technique to put them back into normal eating and to put their life back in control. Because food addiction is the most dangerous addiction, killing more people than drug addiction and smoking and alcohol addiction and everything else, because people are eating themselves to death with food.
I have a vision. And you've always been on the cutting edge and ahead of mainstream information on health. And I would love to see, to reduce all the chronic diseases that we have today because with good nutrition and lifestyle. But also, people go to hospitals, and then many go to rehab afterwards. And it would really be great if the rehab places or maybe a part in a hospital could be like what you are creating in your retreat, where people actually learn how to get well and how to prepare food. We're not there, but would really like to see that.
That'll never happen. You know,
that'll never happen.
You know, what's funny is, just to tell you a story, quick story. There's this guy in Nashville had a heart attack. He's in the hospital. He wanted to do bypass surgery. His family gets me on the phone, and I look at his material. I go, he's not significantly damaged. His heart only had a small heart attack. He's got a good ejection fraction. He doesn't need bypass surgery. Just fly him right out here. He'll stay with me. He'll lose 50 pounds, and he'll say, don't put a stent in. Don't do surgery. Let's get rid of this. You know, so not only did he save $150,000 in having surgery, but he's really well now, because once you put those stents in, once you damage the heart with that surgery, you're never the same, and you're always on the clot-busting drugs, increased risk of stroke. Your heart's never going to be good after that. Mm-hmm. It's never going to be as good as a native. You know, people. So what I'm saying right now is that almost the people never would have to go to the hospital to begin with. You know, they could, you know, so all these people, we could do blood tests on people and tell them whether they're going to have a heart attack right now with a hsCRP, an oxidized LDL, and a myeloperoxidase, which are signs of inflammation, simple blood tests that when elevated can predict a heart attack likely to occur in your future. And then do you do nothing? Do you wait till you have a heart attack and then go to a hospital and put stents in and do surgery and then sit there with it being trying to? And by the way, 40% of people who have the first heart attack don't even live to get to the hospital. They're dead on the spot. Mm. What I'm saying right now is, let's not give them the rehab after they're hospitalized. Let's give them the rehab before they're hospitalized to prevent the hospitalization, you know, and prevent the heart attack and prevent the need for the stent. This is what modern nutritional science and modern medical care makes possible, because we can tell if people are at risk. But you know what? Should we wait? And, you know, because people, I'm always doing these lectures at these big health conferences, right? And the health conference is pushing the screenings, going out and get this screened, you know, screen for heart disease, screen for cancer, get this test done. And I'm saying, you want to wait till you screen to find some disease, and then you're going to change your lifestyle to try to protect you, so to do it. Why wait till you're so advanced? The time the screening test shows you have, the time the mammogram shows you have cancer, the time the test shows you have a blockage in your heart, the time that test shows that you have some damage to the brain cells, that's what you want to wait for? Now's the time to fix things. If you're eating American food, you've got enough things wrong with you that just get yourself fixed, learn how to fix it, learn how to enjoy eating healthfully. Now's the time to transform your life. And if you're overweight, you can't be in good health. There's no such thing as a person who's overweight in good health. There's no such thing as an overweight, healthy person. Fat on body causes disease. It spews out toxic compounds, increases risk of cancer, and you got to get rid of that dangerous tissue.
Now, at those conferences that you speak at, what are they serving during the breaks?
Oh, it's always something unhealthy. I just spoke at a conference, I guess, last Thursday. It was like 800 people in the room, mostly, you know, doctors and stuff. They were serving all kinds of stuff I wouldn't even go near to touch. You know what I mean?
You wouldn't, but everyone else is going near them.
That's right. I mean, they had some melon there. I could guess there was some melon balls in it. And they had some carrot sticks I was taking. But that's wow. About the rest of the stuff was off limits to me, you know, but it was all junk food. But, you know, but it was amazing how I opened up some eyes there and people were very enthused and I'm sure they're going to change. But the people that run in the conference very rarely get it right and realize that the food should match what we're teaching people on the stage. You know what I mean?
Now, I believe what you're talking about. I know you and I trust you and you're one of the smartest people I know. And I know that because I'm smart. But there are many people who hear this information nod their head and say, I don't believe it. I don't know where to go from there. But because you talked about how difficult it is to lose weight and how much junk food and everything that's out there. We have been so socialized in so many ways.
Yeah. Well, you're right that this it seems like the easiest and most logical thing that we are what we eat and we become, you know, and we're responsible for our own health destiny. And I always say we've landed the man on the moon already. By that, I mean we already know how to win the war on cancer. If we just get people eating the right food, we could wipe out much more than 90% of cancers. And, you know, so the secret is G-bombs. You know, greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds, powerful anti-cancer substances. But people don't like that answer. They want a different answer. They want a magic pill they can take. They can still smoke 3 packs a day or still eat burgers, pizza, donuts, and hot dogs. You know, they want to be able to have, you know, looking for the magic. But life is not magic. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. But the point I'm making here is that the main thing is that I think that part of people understand that this is true. But their primitive brain is fighting because they have this cognitive dissonance because they don't want to give up their addictive attraction to those highly palatable foods they think they can't give up. Because that's what an addiction is. It takes over, you lose the keys to the bank. The people's thought processes are taken over. Their life is driven by meeting their addictive need for dopamine stimulation, high caloric consumption, you know, caloric rush in the bloodstream. It takes time for people to be able to understand this and really realize they're going to be happier and be able to enjoy eating just as much. And that's, you know, why I write books and why it takes a lot of information and training. I have, you know, people come away to go to my getaways and I lecture to them for a week. And the point I'm making right now is that the more people are exposed to the knowledge and go through the scientific studies and see the information, the science, the logic, the supportive data, the more chance we have of pulling them away from their bad habits and then like jumping in with both feet. It's very hard with just a little bit of information for people to make a transformation mentally and intellectually, you know.
Tell me what happens at your retreat. A patient signs up, they arrive. What happens?
Well, you know, they have a lot of fun there, but they learn a lot. They must get about 30 different lectures each month, but it's not a lot because you're only getting like one lecture a day, but they have a lot of time for, you know, going in the saltwater pool. There's hiking, but we have 3 incredible chefs. They're doing cooking classes. I have psychological counselors for people who need it. We have rehab type massages where people are doing therapeutic work on their body at the same time. So there's a combination of free time and also some occupied learning and events, like maybe they're doing meditation or yoga or water aerobics in the pool, or, you know. So in other words, they're having activities, they have some learning, but mostly they're learning how to eat right, and they're seeing how great the food can be prepared to make it delicious, and they're seeing how it's prepared, they're learning how to prepare the food, they're coming up with their own business plan. In other words, they're writing down what recipes they love the most and learning how to make those. So they're there having fun, but also in a learning atmosphere. And what's amazing is people change psychologically. If the person's like, a person came in, she was like drinking like 6 cups of whiskey a day, and she was eating soda and eating junk food, and she didn't even want to be there, you know, angry, ornery, you know, irritable, complaining, you know. After a couple of months, she said if she left after the first month, she would have never been able to do it. But she actually stayed the full 3 months. And you wouldn't believe the personality change, where a person actually started to like the world and enjoy things and enjoy being around other people and enjoying conversations and not being irritable and liking the food even and wanting to be healthy again. It's like, wow, this was the same person that came in 2-3 months ago. It was like we changed her personality. It was just amazing. And people don't understand how the junk food doesn't just change you physically, how it changes you negatively in an emotional sense and leads to depression and anger and even violent and frustration and irritabiliness. It's just like the food changes your personality. So we see that the fog lifts and these people become more creative, more happy, more relaxed, more able to enjoy themselves. And you know what? They've developed gratitude and appreciation. They start to be thinking about, you know, the people that made the food and raised the food and the soil and the people where you get the soil from and why that is. And they realize that the healing power of natural food is so magical. And they start to feeling good about themselves for their ability to appreciate nature and what nature has to offer us. So it's really a complete emotional and psychological and intellectual transformation people get there. They don't just lose weight and drop their blood pressure and get off their pills. They also become like more grateful and happy people. You know, it's great.
And they see the connection that we all have with each other and with the earth and with all life around us, which we are so detached from all of that.
It's amazing how things like that can all come together, and how hard it is for people when they don't have their health to have the right type of attitude towards. And you're right. You know, not eating right it has to do with compassion and ability to feel for other people too. You're absolutely right. Because you know what? When you're into yourself so much and you're going after like the approval of other people, when you have compassion and you're feeling good about yourself, you don't have to go after people's approval. And when you're looking for people's approval, you can't eat differently than them. You have to feel good about yourself so you can, don't care. When people like say to you, oh, where do you get your protein? You're not looking to compete with them or to impress them, to better them or anything. You're looking to think about, well, how can I answer in a way that's most compassionate, that will have goodwill for this person in a way that, you know, they'll have the opportunity to have some goodwill for them, you know. So in other words, the people they change and their purpose changes very often. And you're right, the whole pieces of the puzzle come together for them and they start to feel better about themselves. And you know, when you're living under this fear of like dying and getting cancer or getting chemotherapy or having a heart attack all the time, that's a big stress in life too. And what I'm saying right now is conventional medical care is a stress. They're poking you, prodding you, sticking you, cutting you, torturing you, and, you know, doing things to you that are bad, that are hurt, uncomfortable, and that are risky. And when you realize this, and that the natural approach is safe, it's not invasive, it's not uncomfortable, and you watch the transformation happen under your own eyes, it's magical.
Magical and beautiful. Now, what about the cost? I mean, I understand comparing costs of hospital procedures and going to a retreat. The hospital procedures cost a lot more, but people have insurance for that, or some people do, or right, some people can cover a little bit or some of it. I know there's a wide range out there. How can people afford it?
Well, some of it's reimbursable. The medical care portion is reimbursable. If a person stays for 90 days, it is expensive. It's about $36,000 for 90 days. It's about $12,000 a month. You know, that's less than half the price of most health retreats that charge $5,000 a week, you know. You know what I mean? It's still relatively much lower in price. We're trying to keep it, you know, just cover our costs. But it is expensive, you know, but for people. But most of them look at it this way because they consider that when you're diabetic or you have health conditions, you're spending $10,000 to $15,000 more a year on medical costs. And now when you get well, you're saving those monies accruing in the future. You're preventing hospitalizations, and you can't be healthy and good, productive, and perform well and, you know, you when you're not in good health. So it's really save. It is somewhat costly to be spending more than $10,000 a month on a health retreat like that. And even taking the time off from work or from away from your family isn't hard for people. But they can work when they're there, and people work on the internet. And so it is. It's a long-term investment. Buy a new car or get a new body. You only get one body in this life, you know what I mean? And you can't get another one. And we can fix it and have you save all that money in the years to come and be more productive and efficient. And so most of the people recognize it's a bargain and well worth the investment.
Yeah, that's a good comparison, car or your life.
Yeah, right.
And I see similar things like that all the time when I like to encourage people buying organic, healthy food, and people complain about the costs. And then, you know, I might notice the fancy sneakers they have on their feet. And people have interesting priorities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we can't help everybody, but at least I feel good about the people that do want help. At least I put together, you know, the to be able to solve the obstacles and for people who want help, offer them what's necessary to get them the help they need. So if people want to reverse their asthma, they want to get rid of their lupus, they want to get rid of their diabetes, their high blood pressure, but, you know, they want to really transform their health, we can make sure that it happens for them, even if they're having trouble doing it on their own. Most people don't need to come to into retreat like that. Most people could read a book, watch some videos. You know, most people do. They just engross themselves in it at home, and they can't, you know, so many most people can't afford it, but a lot of people can do it on their own, and some people can't. At least we have the, you know, be able to help the people we can help.
Let's get back to addiction and how you work with people who have addiction. Now, there are different parts to addiction, what causes it. The root cause may have started with something emotional in their past, or it just could be that they are so affected by the industrial foods that are out there, because many of them are designed to be addictive,
yes,
to make you want to eat more.
I call them Frankenfoods.
Yeah.
You know, but all those things you're saying are true and intertwined. And you have to address all points simultaneously. Like, because a lot of times people don't even address the physical nature of the addiction. Because when people build up these toxic reactive oxygen species and acrylamides, you know, and their advanced glycation end products, in other words, what I'm saying right now is that when you build up a lot of metabolic waste in your tissues and you're unhealthy, then when you try to not eat for a couple of hours and your digestive process is finished digesting the last meal, you start to feel shaky and weak and headachy and ill when your body starts to detoxify or mobilize some of these toxic compounds. What I'm saying right now is when your diet is unhealthy, and the more unhealthy you are and the more overweight you are, the more uncomfortable you feel when you're in the non-digestive state, and the more you're directed and you can't help yourself from trying to feel okay, and you need to overeat calories to feel okay. Because if you don't constantly keep the digestive tract going, you're going to feel sick all the time. So until we fix the nutritional quality of their diet, people who eat poorly are forced to overeat calories to use food as a stimulant to keep their energy up, because they're going to feel fatigued out, unable to concentrate, and not able to and to feel too ill. It's like when you quit smoking, you feel bad when you stop the cigarette. You want to feel better. You need another cigarette to feel better. These people need to eat to feel better. You're not going to get better until we get them healthier. And that's where the nutritarian approach comes in, because when we flood the body with nutrients, they lower their toxic load, the inflammatory compounds go away, and they don't feel that physical need to overeat. Now, true, there's still emotional overtones, and people recreationally eat and emotionally overeat, and a lot of them, how you have to go into their past, their childhood, you know, how they were. So there's a whole bunch of factors that are intertwine, but all these intertwining factors contribute and magnify each other and magnify the difficulty of these people being able to eat healthfully. And that's why we actually have the psychological counseling and the group therapy and the lectures and also the good healthy food and also, you know, the great soils and the really high nutrient. In other words, everything comes together to make it work better when you do it all the right way.
I have a bunch of questions, if you don't mind answering, that I've either read or heard in a variety of places. So one has to do with metabolism, and I read a lot about metabolism. Should it be fast? Should it be slow? And I was just reading a testimonial about a woman who was around 400 pounds. She was trying everything to lose weight. She was eating 600 calories a day and couldn't lose weight. Is that possible?
No, she had to be eating poor of the wrong foods. No, it's pretty much impossible. Let me just say this so people understand, is that if I need 1,500 calories a day for my basal metabolic needs, and I eat 200 calories a day extra over that, well, that's each pound is about 3,500 calories, about 350 days a year. That means about 10 pounds per year I'd put on. For 200 calories extra, maybe 20 pounds a year I'd put on. But I won't really put on those calories because my metabolic rate will speed up from the extra calories I consume. When I overconsume calories, it won't all come on as fat per calorie because you lose some of it as the metabolic rate speeds up to burn off some of those calories. So you please increase your body temperature and your thyroid will speed up and your respiratory quotient, the amount of calories lost to breathing, will speed up. But you pay a price for that. When you speed up the metabolism, you use up your stem cells, you shorten your telomeres, and you shorten your lifespan. If I eat 100 calories below my metabolic need, I'm not going to lose 10 pounds because my body will slow down the metabolic rate, lower the body temperature, lower its thyroid, lower the respiratory quotient. And even though I have a 100-calorie deficit each day, I only lose 2 pounds or 3 pounds the whole year practically. But my body will slow its metabolic rate. It'll slow down the aging process. The moderate slowing of the age of metabolic rate means you're slowing the aging process. We say we want moderate caloric restriction in the context of micronutrient excellence to prolong lifespan. We don't want radical caloric restriction. We don't want to slow the metabolic rate that far. We don't want a person to become anorexic. We want good muscular and skeletal tone and strength as a person ages, but we don't want a lot of body. We want to keep body fat low, and that's what we're talking about here. So there's not, other than exercise, anything you can, because exercise doesn't really raise your basal metabolic rate. It just has your skeleton and your muscles are utilizing calories. But and we know, for example, that people in the lower half of normal T4, in other words, if you look at free T4 in the normal range of thyroid function, in the bottom half, you have half the heart attack rates compared to people in the upper half of normal. This idea that people are looking to speed up the metabolic rate so they can eat more food and not get fat is the biggest myth and nonsensical goal, because people just don't understand the whole concept of excellent nutrition. Well, we don't want to speed up a metabolic rate. We want to age slower. We want to slow our metabolic rate down a little bit so we can eat less food and not get too thin. And a person eating 600 calories may have slowed down the metabolic rate, but they're still going to lose weight. You can never slow down your metabolic rate enough to make all the weight loss go away. And you can never speed up the metabolic rate fast enough to make all the weight gain go away. It just happens slower, but it's still going to move in the directions whether you have a caloric excess or a caloric deficit.
Thank you for that. A lot of people need to hear that and don't understand it.
It's a little complicated, I understand, but we're not, you know, but at least they got it and they could try to maybe replay it to figure out what I just said.
Absolutely. The point is we want a slower metabolic rate. We don't want to speed it up because we'll age faster.
Correct.
And who wants to age faster? Nobody. Okay. A couple of other things about detoxing, because a lot of times with weight loss, we are detoxing, and there are supplements that are often recommended, all kinds of things, like digestive enzymes, bentonite clay, fulvic, and humic acid. Do you have opinions about those? Do you recommend some over others?
Nah. Because the best thing is vegetables grown from really organic vegetables grown from really excellent soil. I mean, I know I'm agreeing with the concept, that, you know, our soils are depleted. You have GMO and organic food, and they're not getting anything to put this in and that in. But the reality is, I mean, well, you know, I have a garden in my house, and we have gardens where we get, you know, composted soil, and we use, you know, worm, you know, people don't like this term, but, you know, I think it's called, what is it called? Worm castings. You know, you put the worms in there, and you put the, we have, you know, wild compost where we're taking out leaves and, you know, forest material that are eaten up, and we have natural dirt and, you know, all, in other words, the point I'm making right now is you make excellent natural soil. It's teeming with microbacteria and minerals, and we use crushed mineral rocks. And so when you have a good soil, the best thing for that is just eating really healthfully. And eating the best quality food works better than taking in the better supplements do. Because you get the, you get so many things from better quality food that people don't, that really just works the best.
And it's less expensive. Supplements are super expensive overall.
Yeah, you know, there is a, you know, it's really good for people if they can to like grow some of their own sprouts, make some microgreens on good soil in their house if they don't have a vegetable garden. You know, I'm lucky enough to have a vegetable garden and things like that. But even if people can't, you know, you can use, you know, we can buy, we can use microgreens. You put a little soil in a little pan, and you put like seeds on them, and within 4 days you have like 3 or 4 inches, and within a week you can start cutting. So you can still supplement your diet with your own superfoods and make them not so expensive.
Dr. Furman, you've had an office in New Jersey for quite some time. Now that you're moving to the West Coast, what's going to happen to it?
You know, I've, and for the last, I'm mostly seeing the patients on the West Coast. My office is still open, and Dr. Benson's been seeing people there for years. He's been with me, I think, a decade now, and he's a fantastic doctor that worked hand in hand, and he's, you know, right up, you know, he's terrific, and he's such a kind and thoughtful person, too. So I'm very, what's the word, feel that people are in great hands when they come to my office and they see Dr. Benson instead of myself. So my New Jersey office is open, it's thriving, and Dr. Benson sees most of the patients there because I'm going to be taking care of most of the people out, you know, out in the San Diego location.
Okay, that's good to know. Because we need more of you everywhere.
And you know, I do, thank you. I do, you know, both Dr. Benson and I both answer people's questions on the website at drfurman.com. So we have like thousands of people that go into the forums. There's an Ask the Doctor forum where they ask me questions, and we have people from all over the world there just to help give them some guidance. So when they can't come to us as a doctor, they can't get here or get there, they can just ask for some guidance of things that they can speak to about their regular doctor, or tell them what their local, what they can help, give them a little extra help over the internet, which is kind of fun for us too.
I am so glad you brought that up. I was intending to, and I didn't put it on my list, but that forum is so valuable. And whether people are at the level where they can ask questions, or they're at a level in the membership where they can just review everything that's been asked, there is a wealth of information, and I go there all the time.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
I do. When I have a question and I can't find the answer, I go to drfurman.com, and I go to your forums, and I look. And most of the time, the answer is there. So
yeah,
thank you.
Just put in a search term, and you'll find it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Over the years, I must have answered maybe, I don't know, I'm guessing, but maybe like 20,000 questions probably, you know?
And a lot of them are the same.
Yeah, right. Some, yeah, sure.
Yeah, unfortunately. The weight loss industry in the United States is up to $72 billion. It's a big business. People want to lose weight. And they're going to Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and Nutrisystems and shakes and all kinds of products. Some people lose weight, but a lot of people don't get sustainable weight loss. And that's what it's all about. I remember when you first came out with the book Eat to Live. And correct me if I'm wrong. I remember you saying it wasn't intended to be a weight loss program. It was just to educate about eating healthfully and how we can attain our ideal weight. But for many, it is a weight loss book.
Yeah,
for that reason.
Correct. And I've always said, and I really went into that in real lot of depth in my book, The End of Dieting, too. You know, in Eat to Live, I said, don't start the book. Don't diet. Don't read the recipes. Just stop right here. Read the book first, finish the whole book. Get to be an expert in nutritional science to really understand before you decide what you want to do. They don't want you to make a decision based on having the facts wrong. And I, you know, and in my book, The End of Dieting, I go through the whole thing. What's wrong with dieting? You're losing and gaining weight back again, and losing and gaining weight back again is worse than not dieting, even because the fluctuating your weight is bad. In other words, we want people to make changes towards health and eat for an anti-cancer, anti-heart disease, anti-dementia program, and that becomes the foundation of their weight loss plan, because these changes you're making forever. And anything you do short-term is of no benefit. It's only the changes that you can stick with long-term that's going to benefit your life. And this is all about how to make long-term changes, how to make a healthy food taste great, and how to make you, how to make this become part of you, so this becomes the way you prefer to eat and prefer to live.
Dr. Furman, I met you 23 years ago. You were giving a talk on Long Island, and you were promoting your book, Fasting and Eating for Health. Yeah. It was 1996, and you were talking about Fasting and Eating for Health, which I picked up. You signed it. I read it. And there was just such amazing information in there. And I wanted to talk about it for a couple of reasons. One is, I'm wondering, are you going to put out a revised 25th anniversary edition next year?
Oh, God.
You should.
You're
I'll tell you why.
I'll
tell you why. Because everybody, when we mentioned fasting 20 plus years ago, everybody was like, oh my God, that's so dangerous. That's so horrible.
That's so radical. Exactly. Yeah,
and it's now a trending buzzword. Everybody's talking about all different kinds of fasts, of course.
Right.
But it's considered okay.
I know, you know, and you know what the simplest message for people listening here is, that don't go to bed on a heavy stomach. Don't eat a heavy meal at night. Try to eat earlier in the day. Try to eat a light dinner and an earlier dinner. So because we call it time-restricted eating or intermittent fasting, it's that being able to rest and sleep at night when there's not food in your stomach is a secret to slow the aging process and enhance longevity. And that's like a great tip they can leave with today.
Well, I think when you go to bed with a full stomach, there's a lot of things that are happening that don't benefit you from digestion, but it affects so many things. You can have like bad dreams. All kinds of things happen when your body isn't comfortable when you're asleep. And then I find when I do that, and I really try not to do it, but when I do, it's not a comfortable night and I wake up not feeling good.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have like food refluxing up and down your esophagus and your stomach when you're lying flat in bed at night anyway. But I'm saying there's other biological events that happen that really are very important as far as your health and longevity are concerned. So the secret, when we're talking about fasting, we're saying that, you know, sometimes fasting can be used therapeutically to help people, you know, accelerate a recovery, or used as a professional to help a person get well from arthritis or lupus. But most people, the consistency of like trying to not overeat and not eat late at night is a way they can utilize the concept of fasting, build it routine into their life, and get tremendous benefit from it.
Okay, let's swing back to the retreat and wrap up talking about it a little bit again. And if people are interested, they can go to your website, drfurman.com.
Right.
And it's the longer they stay, the better, but people can visit for shorter stays as well.
Correct. But the, it's, you know, it's really geared for the 30 days or more, participants, because we don't have a huge amount of rooms, and we may have a room available if the person wants to come for 2 weeks or a week, but we usually don't have a room available for short-term stays. We usually have to accommodate those people that are staying longer because they're there for an important reason to get well. So, you know what I mean? So, and it's just, you know, it's, and the reason I've designed it that way is because I know people go to these health retreats and they spend a lot of money and they feel great and they lose a little weight, but they go back to their old diet again and they gain the weight back. My experience has been, it takes the longer stay to assure that the person's going to stick with this and really learn what they need to learn. You know what I mean? And make sure this really sticks for the rest of their life.
Well, also, when you go somewhere and you lose weight and then you come back and gain it again, that can be dangerous going up and down like that, couldn't it?
Yes, it's not
that roller coaster.
That's correct. And, you know, we want to have the time to teach people the skills they need to be able to sustain it, enjoy it, and duplicate it at home. So the people, when they're there, you know, are learning, okay, so how much, they're learning what to make, but also how much should they eat? Because some of these people that are overweight, they have no idea, like, how much to eat, when to get up from the table, how much to, you know, when to make some, how to gauge so they're hungry again for the next meal and make it taste better so they eat the right amount the last meal. So it's a whole process that takes time. It's like sending a person to a cocaine, who has a cocaine addiction, to a retreat to get off cocaine. And do you think staying there a week's going to do it for them?
No,
it's not really going to work that well. They got to stay longer, you know? So that's really why I'm not trying to, like, just take people's money and have them, you know, I really want to make sure that they're there to change their life. And when they get there and they go home there, there's a, you know, no recidivism, and they really got this and have no obstacles to making the changes they need to make and continue the process. You know, so for example, so many people come there, like they lose 40 to 50 pounds, but then when they go home, like take Nicole, for example, she lost 50 pounds at the retreat, but the year she went home, she lost 150 more pounds.
Oh.
She wasn't going to stay there the whole year, but she's tried all these diets in the past and never was able to, you know, because she had to continue the process. So she learned how to do what she needed. She learned what she needed so she could continue the process on her own now at home. And now when they leave, they feel they wouldn't even consider living anywhere, any way else. This is the way they love to live, and they're proud of it, and they're excited about the results they get.
Okay, everybody, I know there are some of you out there that you know that we're talking about you, that you've struggled and you've tried everything. And I hope you're considering Dr. Furman's Eat to Live Retreat. One last question. Halloween's coming up. How do you recommend that we celebrate?
Well, what we've always done is we like go to like Oriental Trading and buy a box of like cheap yo-yos or light up necklaces or rubber balls or those paddles with the balls on them. So we give kids little toys, not candy. You know, candy is like giving them cocaine. It's dangerous. It's mind-altering substance that leads to food addiction and leads to actually, there's a scientific literature shows that people eat the most candy when they're children are at higher risk of developing criminal behavior when they're adults. This is dangerous stuff. It's a gateway drug, you know. So, but anyway, I'm very against people, you know, Halloween being a candy, you know, gorging experience for children. It should be fun, and we can learn how to have fun with eating healthy substances and having healthy games and healthy toys, and we could be part of that and still do Halloween.
Before you go, I just want to tell everyone, if they haven't read your last book, Fast Food Genocide, they should. I think it's the best book you've written, and it should be required reading for everyone on the planet.
That is
so many dots in that book.
Thank you. I really feel it is a very interesting read, and people would love reading it, but they don't know that. It's like my other books all sell better than that book, because they're self-help books, and people like The End of Diabetes is going to sell better, or the Eat to Live Cookbook is going to sell better than Fast Food Genocide, because people want, like, they want the recipes, they want to know what to do. But Fast Food Genocide is the book to really change people's way of thinking and to motivate them into a new way of looking about the food. I think it's, as you said, it's a very interesting read, don't you think?
I do. It's your best. So I hope it's a sleeper where people are, you know, slowly realize this is the one they need to read.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much.
Okay, Joel, thank you so much for joining me today on It's All About Food. Thank you for everything you do. I can't thank you enough for everything you do. You've changed my life and so many others for the better. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Well, best of health, of course, to you and all your listeners.
Thank you. And to you. You look fabulous. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
That was Dr. Joel Furman, everybody. And I hope you got the message. So honestly, sincerely, are you struggling? Are you struggling with weight? I know so many people who are struggling with weight. You've gotten the books, you've gotten the plans, and for one reason or another, you can't make it happen. This retreat may just be the thing for you. I want you to consider it. And if you have any questions about anything we've spoken about today or any time, I want you to know you can always reach out to me at info@realmeals.com. realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org. This is for you. Do you understand that? Because we're just here to help. Okay, so we have a little more time to chat. And so why don't we chat a little more? Very good. I made some notes and I got a little distracted here. And now I'm pulling them up again. Okay. I do recommend all of Dr. Furman's books. I've read every one of them, and each one of them has something worthwhile in it. Okay, some things to celebrate. I am so happy to read. I don't know if you read about it or heard about it, but Macy's and Bloomingdale's are committing to stopping selling fur by the end of 2020. This is great news, and apparently they've been looking into it for a long time, and they've been researching and studying about it, and they've also been hearing a lot of us screaming about it and protesting about it. But this is, I want to think it's a new beginning. Now, in here in New York City, we're working on a fur-free ban. California passed a fur ban. Raising animals for fur is extremely cruel. And the traps that are often used, or the animals that are confined for fur, they're just treated horribly, and they're killed horribly, too. You can just look it up. I don't even want to describe it here because it'll get me too upset. And this is a powerful thing. It's taken a long time to get here, and it's not all stores, and it's not all manufacturers, but these are two very prominent stores and businesses, and I would like to think, just like offering the plant-based burgers in fast food restaurants, there's momentum, it's a domino effect, and more will follow. This started decades ago with all kinds of protests. Some of them I can't say that I would have wanted to be a part of, but they definitely were memorable, with people throwing red paint on fur coats. And there seemed to be some awareness that came from all of that. But then the fur business fought back, and they grew again. And now over time, we're starting to get the message out about how horrifically cruel it is to raise animals for their fur. They need their fur. We don't need their fur. And whether you choose to wear synthetic furs, and there's pro and negative arguments for that, and we don't want to be digging up all kinds of petrochemical products to make fur. But there's so many wonderful new materials coming out. Some of them are from plants that are amazing. We should start to see more furs that are from plants and not animals and are more sustainable. So this is very exciting. And what I see, this is the long term, of course, but One of the reasons we've gotten a lot of pushback about fur is because people connect the dots and they say, well, if you want to ban fur, then the next thing you're going to ban is leather. Well, yeah. But that's why we get so much fight from the other side, because there are people and businesses that want to eat their animals. They want to wear their animals. And fur seems a little more luxurious, or not as a necessity as things made from leather might seem more like a necessity. But we're going to see a lot of changes over time, and this is very encouraging. So a big applause to the folks at Macy's and Bloomingdale's. I believe they're part of the same big company. You know, there are only a few big companies out there that own everything. But thank you. Thank you for that. And another thing to celebrate is how veganism, the idea of eating plants and not animals, is becoming more and more popular, more acceptable, more mainstream, more sexy, more luxurious. The cuisine is amazing, and there's a wide range of it. So it's delicious no matter what you choose. And if if you want to follow a very super clean, no salt, no sugar, no oil diet, a nutritarian diet like Dr. Joel Fuhrman recommends, the food is delicious and amazing. But there's a wide spectrum, and there are chefs out there that are doing all kinds of things, and some of them use salt, sugar, and oil, some more than others, some less than others. There's a wide range, like I say, and some of them will use more industrial foods, more manufactured foods, some use more whole foods. There's a wide range depending on where you are and what your needs are. It's all out there. James Beard Foundation. You may have heard of it. James Beard was a very famous chef. He was not a vegan or a vegetarian. He liked big food. And the home that he lived in New York City is now a nonprofit organization called the James Beard Foundation, and they have lots of food events. And I've been there numerous times for vegan events in earlier years ago, mostly for book readings when there was an author promoting a vegan book or a book related to sustainable food. And I guess this is how vegans eke their way in there, because for a long time there was no vegan food served at the James Beard Foundation. What they do is they promote lots of chefs, and they bring chefs in from all around the country and I believe all around the world, and promote all different kinds of cuisine so people can learn about it and enjoy it. They have events every week, and they're all in the James Beard House. So it's a fun event because you're in a home, and the kitchen is a commercial kitchen, so the chef can make themselves at home there, literally, and with their team create an amazing dinner. It's usually served with lots of wines that are paired with every course. And I went last year in March of 2019, there were, I think, 5 vegan women chefs being featured. And what was fun about it was most of the attendees were not vegan. They're just curious about food. So it's a really great way to educate about vegan food, for example. And now they're really stretching themselves. They're really moving into this 21st century where there are more vegans out there and the food is fun. They're offering vegan options, or maybe even a vegan event once a month. I'm not sure about that. It's definitely vegan options at least once a month, if not more. And from time to time, they bring in vegan chefs. Okay. Last night was Tal Ronan. And Tal Ronan is the owner, chef extraordinaire over at LA, Los Angeles, of a restaurant called Crossroads. I first met Tal when he was here in New York. He studied at the National Gourmet Institute, and he had a book signing at Candle 79 some years ago. He's a lovely person. Oprah called him the best vegan chef. And he's a really sweet man, and he's got a great team, and they did a lovely dinner last night, and I was very fortunate to be able to attend. And I remember decades ago, I think it was in the late 80s, when I discovered the Millennium in San Francisco. It was the first upscale vegan restaurant I had ever been to, and what to be able to go like on a date, something romantic or just something celebratory where you could sit in a beautiful environment and have a really lovely dinner and not have to ask anyone, is there butter in this? Do you use chicken broth? Is there fish sauce? And how many times have I had to ask those kinds of questions? Anyway, the Millennium was the first place I ever went to, and now there's so many. It's really a delight. And now at the James Beard Foundation, it's a little different than eating in a restaurant. And it's just a great experience because you're with people who love food, love to talk about food, love to experience food. There's always something special in each meal. So one of the things Tal Ronan is known for, and you can Google this if you want to see pictures of it, and I'll put it in my What Vegans Eat blog in the next day or two. He has a product that looks like a yolk of an egg, and he puts it over a pasta dish, and it's a ball of like a yolk, and you can poke at it and it doesn't move, and then you poke a little harder and then it just kind of spills out like a yolk will. But of course, it's all plant-based and it's made from whole foods. And it's a secret how he does it. Kind of a secret. You can find out how he does it. But it's fun. And I just love that we can do so many things with plant foods, so many colorful, tasty things. We can heal people with healthy whole foods that are sugar, salt, and oil free. We can have gourmet, extravagant events where people treat themselves and just do amazing things and make foods that people are used to eating on an animal-based diet, but make it all from plants, because this is where we need to go. We need to do it not just for health, but for the treatment of animals and for this planet, planet Earth that we live on, because we cannot sustain raising animals for food, and we're getting there, and I'm excited about that. Okay, so I hope you've enjoyed today. I know I have. It's always such a joy to talk to Dr. Joel Fuhrman, my favorite medical doctor. He is the real deal, everybody. He walks the walk, talks. He walks the talk. Whatever he does. He practices what he preaches, and you can learn so much for him. And if you're in any kind of health crisis, you want to head over to drfuhrman.com and maybe even consider his Eat to Live retreat. Thanks for joining me, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. Please visit me at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Dr. Fuhrman's got a detox coming out November 4th to the 24th that you can sign up for, a guided detox. You can do it from home. If you can't get to his retreat, you could always try his guided detox. Go to responsibleeatingandliving.com. I've got information up on my homepage about that. I'm Karen Hartglass. Write to me at info@realmeals.org. I'd love to hear from you. Everybody, have a delicious week.